Hello and welcome. It's our number one of the podcast. We thank you for supporting the podcast. A programming note, by the way. Tonight, if you follow me on social media, at Ben Maller, or on the Facebook page or the Instagram page, I'll be tweeting out and sending out a link. We're going to have a live version of Benny versus the Penny. So I want you to hear that. It'll be recorded if you can't listen, but it'll be 9 o'clock in the West on Friday, midnight, the witching hour. In the East, and we're going to pick every NFL game on Sunday. So that's a little bit of a programming note. But coming up this hour, and hour number one, did Joe Burrow throw too often for the Bengals? We take a look back at our meat and potatoes, the NFL Thursday night game. And is Baker Mayfield out of the doghouse? He averaged almost 10 yards a pass. Talk some Browns and Bengals, the Ohio Civil War. And that coming your way right now here in hour number one.
Well, it was not exactly a slobber knocker in the NFL, but we did have the return of the National Football League. Week number two underway. We will take a closer look at the Ohio Civil War. Welcome in the beginning of the Ben Maller Show. We are in the air everywhere, coast to coast, border to border, and beyond, bloviating the overnight hours away as we emanate live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. Although we're apart these days, we're sharing more, and Geico is sharing more too with the Geico Give Back. It is a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for both current and new customers that last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. And so, with all due respect to the NBA, and we will certainly get to that, we have a lot of time here. We have endless time. 4 hours! 4 hours of this! So we will get to later on the Celtics and their meltdown. I've seen that before. I don't know where I saw that before. A team having a big lead in the second half and then giving it all away. I don't know where I've seen that before, but we'll talk about the Celtics and the Miami Heat now are 2 wins away from the NBA Finals. But we had NFL action, yo. We had NFL activity, bro. The Browns and the Bengals going at it. Mano a mano, a sparring match. Now, when these teams get together, when the Browns play the Bengals, you know what happens here? You throw out the records. Why? Because if you looked at the records, you wouldn't want to watch the game at all. Now, if you're a gambler, you definitely want to watch the game. So what happened? What happened? Now, if you didn't see the game, maybe you were watching the NBA game and you missed the NFL game. So Nick Chubb, the running back for the Browns, 124 yards, 2 touchdowns in Cleveland, racking up 215 yards on the ground, overpowering Cincinnati, and they get the 5-point win, 35-30, the final. Kareem Hunt, the former Kansas City Chief, who had an amazing opportunity that he blew in Kansas City, but he's now in Cleveland as the second back, and he had 86 yards. The Browns averaged over 6 yards per carry. Right. And most of the time, the running backs were getting the ball, and they were going off 2-3 yards before anyone would touch them. Now, for gamblers, because we realize that that's the most important thing. It's not who won or lost. It's did you cover the spread. So the Cincinnati Bengals got the backdoor cover, the juicy backdoor cover. Now, if you heard yesterday on Benny versus the Penny, we took Cincinnati in the game. We took the Cincinnati Bengals here, +6. And the Bengals were getting smacked around pretty good in this game. And they were able to close the gap in the final seconds. And they get the backdoor cover as a 6-point road dog. Joe Burrow methodically taking Cincinnati down the field. He had a 9-yard touchdown pass play to Tyler Boyd with 43 seconds on the game clock. And that turned out to be enough for the gamblers of the Bengals to win. The Browns, though, win the game, and a lot to dissect. And who better to dissect it than your sports radio scientist right here? That's right. Who? I don't know. I forget his name. Anyway, so the question, what are the big takeaways here from the Cleveland Browns getting into the win column for the first time and the Bengals adding to their misery at 0-2? So I have General Patton, Porky Pig, and Sharks And we will combine all of these things together and make a marginal Mahler monologue. Now, why don't we start with the Bengals? Because the better story is in the losing locker room, as I've said for many, many years. And Joe Burrow, breakout game for Joe Burrow, kind of. 316 yards, which is a good number to have. Three touchdowns, no interceptions for Joe Burrow. He did get smashed a couple of times, and the ball went a-flying. But 61 pass attempts, that's the number. That's the number that you highlight there. 61 pass attempts for Burrow. Now, many, it seems, in the football media who are watching this were outraged, and maybe I'm reading too much into it, but how could he throw the ball that much? 61 times. Oh, my God. You're going to get your quarterback killed. You're going to get your quarterback killed. What are you doing? So, let me address that. Did the Bengals make a mistake having Joe Burrow throw the ball early and often? Good afternoon, good evening, and good night. The answer is no. The answer is no. Now, those pundits, we know who they are, chill out, okay? This falls into the category of what I call pearl clutching. The jury is still out on Zach Taylor. And I am certainly not here to tell you that Zach Taylor is going to be an NFL head coach a year from now. Forget 3 years from now. He can go back to being an assistant and follow around Sean McVay for all I care. It doesn't matter to me. But this was not some kind of act of malfeasance by the Bengal coach. Cincinnati's game plan was not to throw the ball 60-plus times. I promise you that. However, as the great General Patton likely said back in the day, you fight the war you're in, not the war you planned on. Right? You have to be able to improvise. Life is what is taking place while you're making your plans with your playbook and you're scripting all your plays. There, things go haywire. And so you have to adjust with the game situation. Right? What's the old line? Necessity is the mother of invention. And that is what the game dictated. And so why is that? There were a couple of variables here in play. Digging yourself an early deficit, double digits, for a good chunk of the game. So you're playing behind. So you're going uphill. It's much easier to go downhill than have to go uphill. We all know that. And the way the Bengals defense was playing, if you didn't see this game, let me tell you, this had football massacre all over it. For Cincinnati, the way they were playing defense or not playing defense, the Cleveland Browns were bull rushing the Bengal offensive line, and there was very little space, almost no space for the Cincinnati running backs to do their thing there. And that explains why the Bengals averaged 2.8 yards per carry, which is embarrassing. Not as embarrassing as Saquon Barkley the other night, but still embarrassing. And even that seemed inflated. Even that, watching it and then looking at the box score, I was like, it seemed like it should be lower than that. Now, the only light in the darkness is Joe Burrow. We're going to get to Burrow in a minute. But first, here's Zach Taylor, embattled Bengals coach? Here is Zach Taylor trying to explain what the heck happened and the lack of ability to move the ball on the ground.
We felt like we were having a lot of success in the pass game, you know, when we scored on three of our last drives. And so again, we were down two scores there in the fourth quarter. And this is the same thing that kind of happens to us. You get down and you're throwing the ball and we're having success doing it. We got a lot of faith in Joe. It's just the way that it played out.
Yeah. So that's exactly what I said. That's exactly what I just said. Listen, as far as Burrow is concerned, listen, he's the light in the darkness. He's the light. Burrow's ability to evade would-be defenders. They didn't do it all the time, and he did look like he was playing for the Green Bay Packers at one point because the back of his pants were green from the grass that he was sliding around on. But his ability to avoid the negative plays there, even with the immense pressure. He wasn't seeing ghosts like that quarterback that plays for the Jets. He didn't see any ghosts there like Sam Darnold. And the thing about Cleveland's defense, they were all over the place, but they only had three sacks. They only had three sacks, and when you throw the ball 61 times and the defense is rushing your offensive line, you only have three sacks. That's pretty good. That's pretty good, right? So the early book on Burrow is simple. He is the most intriguing Cincinnati Bengals player since Icky Woods. I'm even saying he's better than the great Ocho Cinco, who was a great gift to Sports Talk Radio. It was a wonderful gift to Sports Talk Radio. But we're still in the honeymoon period, right? We're still in the honeymoon period. I liked him at LSU, and so far I've seen both games. I watched the game against the Chargers, and boy, how about the Chargers, though? How bad must Tyrod Taylor blow that the Chargers were in a dogfight with the Bengals defense, and they were brutal? I mean, seriously. If you're a Charger fan, you got to be like, oh, my God, sweet baby Jesus, what are we doing here with Tyrod Taylor? I know they lost some guys to injury, and I'm aware of that happened. But still, man, the Browns were just slicing them up. It was wild. And as far as Burrow and the pass total here, Joe Burrow, he is about 70% of what the Bengals have on offense. You give A.J. Green a little bit, and there's a couple other guys there that can make plays. But he's about 70%. And he attempted, the Bengals ran 88 plays. All right, they ran 88 plays. And he attempted 61 passes. That's 69%, roughly, of the Bengals' offensive plays. The Browns only ran 58 plays. And after two games, Joe Burrow, all right, has thrown the ball 97 times. Now, what does that mean? I was reading this earlier. The NFL record. You know what the record is for most passing attempts in a single season? Of course you don't, because you'd have to be a loser to know what that record is. You'd have to have no life. So, anyway, the record is 727 attempts. Now, I actually remember this because it wasn't that long ago, although it's been 8 years. In 2012, Matthew Stafford of the Honolulu Blue Detroit Lions threw the ball 727 times. So the nerds have done the math on this. And after two games, as we said, Burrow has thrown the ball 97 times. So if he averages 46 pass attempts for the rest of this season, the 14 games remaining, Joe Burrow will set an NFL record his very first year for most pass attempts. And looking at the Bengals defense and knowing the war of attrition is going to take place, and they've already had players get hurt. There's going to be more going to the injury tent. I don't know how you avoid it. The only way you'd avoid it if Burrow got hurt, and then obviously he would not set the record. Now, Joe Burrow, after the game, he was spicy hot. He was in no mood to celebrate his performance at all because he wanted to go into his bag of cliches.
I'd have to go and watch the film to let you know. You know, we lost. That's the only thing that matters, and, you know, we just got to find a way to win games. If we punch that in on the goal line, we probably win this game. So that's, you know, what I'm going to be thinking about.
I read that Burrow has been hit now more in two NFL games than he was hit all of last season at LSU. He points out he is not familiar with this whole concept of back-to-back losses.
This might be the only time in my sporting career that I've lost two games in a row. Doesn't feel very good. I know the guys in there are hurting. We're going to come back to work tomorrow and try to get this thing right. You know, losing is unacceptable to me, to everybody in there, to Coach Taylor, to everybody in this organization. So we're just going to have to get fixed.
You might want to get used to it there, Joe. You might want to get used to it. All right, now as far as Cleveland, on the Cleveland sideline, what's the story here? All right, so let's go over it. Now, is Baker Mayfield out of the doghouse? Because he had a good performance here for the Browns. And I'll give him credit. He was moving the offense, and it was a high-flying offensive performance. But is he out of the doghouse? No. That would be a premature reaction. It's one game, and one game does not end the noise. Now, it's a small step, a very small step. But Mayfield, and you can have this when you're a front runner, he had the swagger, right? He had the swagger like he was back at Oklahoma. Boomer Sooner, right, against Oklahoma State. Remember that game when he was like Porky Pig at Oklahoma, and he had like 600 yards passing and five touchdowns. I think it was against Oklahoma State back, was it last year? His last year in college, I think it was. Anyway, listen, that's how this game felt. Even though statistically the reality is that was not the stat line, anywhere close to it. Mayfield only had 219 yards because the Browns were running the ball so efficiently, but by his standards, this was a breath of fresh air. Baker Mayfield averaged almost 10 yards per pass attempt against the Cincinnati Bengals secondary. So it was Baker, the touchdown maker, who is still on double secret probation. Okay, he's still on double secret probation. So let me be the voice of reason. Not impressed because of the team. That's part of it. Now, you're supposed to beat the Bengals, even though the Browns are somewhat on the same level. But if you connect the dots, Cincinnati started out with shortcomings, as we said, on defense. They then lost the centerpiece, their defensive star, Geno Atkins. And so the statistics were obviously inflated. They were inflated statistics here, which to me downgrades on my Maller report card. It downgrades the style points. Right? Downgrades the style points in my report card. But not to belittle anyone, however, for stretches of this game, it looked like the Bengals had never met each other. Like the guys in the secondary, it was the first time they'd ever met the people next to them, if you know what I'm saying. And they were being twisted into pretzels. The defensive line was getting just bludgeoned for Cincinnati. And that virtual reality might have been better and put up more of a resistance for the Cincinnati Bengals. All right, last word here. So the big thing this victory does for Cleveland is it calms the sharks that are jumping out of the water to take a bite out of the new coach, Kevin Stefanski, because the Browns were completely hornswoggled last week by the Ravens because they were punching out of their weight class. This week, it was more of an even matchup. They didn't go outside their weight class, and they were the better team here. They played a cream puff. You always like to feast on the cream puffs, and that's what they did. They were able to fly up and down the field there, and they actually flew off the top rope is what they did there with a body blow to the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, even with that said, all right, even with that said, final point. All right, the Browns defense still allowed 30 first downs, 353 yards of offense to a rookie quarterback making his second start, who we think's good. We think he's good, bro, but it's his second start in the NFL and an offensive line that has the consistency of Swiss cheese. And that is what the Browns' defense had problems keeping them off the scoreboard. The Bengals had the ball for over 7 minutes longer. All right, over 7 minutes longer. They ran 30 more offensive plays, as we said earlier. And Cleveland, now the good news for them is they've got another lightweight. The Washington football team next week. So that's a good chance for the Brownies to get to 2-1. And then Joe Burrow and the Bengals, they have a winnable game. Philadelphia's got all kinds of issues there. Although the way the Bengals defense is going, they're going to have to score 45 points, Joe Burrow, on offense to win. Otherwise, good luck. Good luck. All right, it is the Ben Maller Show. If you'd like to join the conversation, we got a lot of jokes. So I have to decide here. Now, this is an hour or three. Should I do a full extended dance remix? I always say I'm going to do this, and then I often don't. So if you want to hear extended jokes, a lot of these people, I think the jokes will be better this week because Roberto's back, and he knows to play the right little laughs and all that stuff. So we can do that now. That's an hour or three, so we shouldn't worry about that right now. But we will take your calls, 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. So we've got the buck stops with you and a starting quarterback in the NFL. Well, he's facing some legal action against himself, and we will explain what that's all about. We'll get to it, and we will do it next.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
It's Maller 2020, and you can be heard in the democracy of the Ben Maller Show. We encourage and welcome the voice of the people. That would be you. Following the voice of this show on Twitter, he's at Ben Maller. And you can tweet at and follow me, Eddie Garcia, your humble sidekick, the voice of reason. I'm at Eddie on Fox. No play for Mr. Gray. And now live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios, it's Ben Maller.
Hey, how much did Finley pay you to go on his podcast?
The same amount he paid you, I assume. He
paid me $500 to go on his podcast. Did he pay you $500? You think I'd go on Brian Finley's podcast unless he paid me $500? My time is valuable. I don't do these things for nothing.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he didn't pay you $500.
No, he did. He paid me $500. No, I mean, you can ask him. He did. And if he tells you different, he's a liar. Mm-hmm. He's a liar and a weasel and a scoundrel.
Yeah, God knows he's making a lot of money here, so he could afford to pay you
$500. No, he does that UCLA propaganda
$500,
show,
that's like a month's worth of you working here, right?
So I'm saving money on gas, though. I'm saving money on gas.
Look at the bright side.
I'm getting killed, Eddie. Why is that? Because I did a Bengal-centric monologue mixed with the Browns. And people are very upset.
The Dick and Dayton Bowl.
Yeah, like I felt like this was only for Dick and Dayton, that I really did the monologue for Dick and Dayton, which kind of sucks because he doesn't listen to the last hour of the show. He's sleeping right now somewhere.
And he also doesn't watch sports, it seems like.
Well, that's true. No. In fact, he'll probably call up the last hour if we get him on the air, and I'll say, hey, Dick, did you see the game last? No, I didn't see the game.
Like, if he doesn't watch that game, what game is he going to watch?
I know. You got to plan your schedule if you're a big sports fan and you love the Ohio teams.
Well, they've been wanting this trip. Yeah, I don't like that too good.
Some of the reviews here, Eddie. Yes. Ribman says, this is where I'm supposed to say Marconi-worthy monologue, but it's Ohio, Ribman says. So what are we doing here? Let's see, page down. Ryan says the Bengals should sign Icky Woods to help the running game and maybe hire an adult as a head coach, not a kid. That's a shot. And he says, you have spoken more about the Bengals on this show than you have at any other point. Can we never hear about them again on your show this season? The Bengals are the Donald Sterling Clippers of the NFL.
It didn't take the folks long to completely get over the fact that we should be like thrilled we have any football to talk about.
Eddie, where's
I'm thrilled that Bengals Browns. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
I had two, I was flipping back and forth. My hand was getting a workout there. I was going back and forth between the games.
I've heard it does that a lot.
I don't know what you're talking about. So
hand was getting a workout.
Here's the way you got to look at the Bengals, okay? Do they blow? Absolutely. They're going to be terrible. They maybe win two games this year, but they're lucky they'll win two games. They're terrible. Defense is biblically bad. And the Browns, if they win seven games, they should give Kevin Stefanski the coach of the year. So that said, like all those players, the good teams can then go and poach players off those teams. Because even like the Bengals and Browns have a couple of players that are they're decent. Ryan also says we should relegate the Bengals to the CFL. I thought the CFL shut down, right? There's no CFL season.
They cut it out.
Sucks. Aren't they changing all like the cool names, like the Edmonton Eskimos? They had to get rid of that.
They talked about it. I don't know if they actually
did. Yeah. I don't know if they've come up with a new name for the team at Edmonton, but yeah, that was their Redskins. Man, I lived the life, Eddie. When I was a kid, I used to eat Eskimo pies.
Oh, me too.
I feel terrible about that. I do.
I'll have to look and see if they're still around or if they had to change their name.
No, they're out. I think they were in that same group with Aunt Jemima and Uncle Ben's Rice. I think they're all out. Yeah. Terry in England says, an excellent monologue, man. A+, the usual toe lickers will be out in force, but the box score isn't really indicative of the game. Now, one of the things that happened in the game involves Joe Buck.
Yes.
Right? How about it? Listen, now, Joe Buck is a polarizing broadcast. Can we agree on that?
Absolutely.
He does a game, he's always trending, and it's usually these brain-dead people who are agitated against Joe Buck. They're very upset. I'll give Joe credit, and we've had him on. I used to do the Blitz with Looney, and we had him on quite a bit back in those years, and like Joe is totally aware. He's not obtuse to what goes on. Like, he has the innate ability, Eddie. Joe Buck, when he's calling a game, both sides are convinced Joe Buck is against their team. It's a tremendous skill. Right, it's a tremendous – like, Joe Buck calling a game could be anything, baseball, football, whatever he does, and both sides are convinced there's damage being done because Joe Buck is saying mean things about their team. But he's a Hall of Famer. They had the announcement. They had a hokey, corny video thing, which, it's good for Joe Buck. Congratulations. And
I don't have a problem with him, like, in the broadcasting
Hall
of Fame.
He's done it since 1994.
I just don't think he's deserving of being in the NFL Hall of Fame, the Pro Football Hall of Fame, excuse me.
Isn't that where they keep them on their own little separate, it's like the kids' table, right? Isn't that what they do with
I don't
the Hall
think he gets, like, the the bust or anything like that.
Well, you've been there, right? You've been to the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Twice, actually.
Greatest Hall of Fame speech of all time. You know what it was?
Tell me.
John Madden. Right, remember John Madden?
When he did like talking about the 12-man sled or something.
No.
He talked to the Raiders.
John Madden did this. It's on YouTube.
Oh, I know. He did the rant. The bus talking to each other.
Yes, they come alive at night, like the night at the museum. That was a great, the great bullcrap speech by John Madden.
Troy Aikman was saying that Joe Buck was going to get a jacket. I don't think he gets a jacket, right?
I think he might get the jacket, but not
really?
The bust. What are they going to do? A bust of him holding the microphone? I mean, come on.
Well, you got Chick Hearn outside of Staples Center.
I know. Bob Miller's there too, by the way.
That's right. Oh, Chick is actually sitting. He's not standing.
Yeah, he's sitting down. Yeah.
You can sit down next to him.
Yeah, you can sit.
No, you really can't. I take a picture with
him. Yeah.
Is there a Vin Scully statue anywhere in L.A.?
No.
No?
Not yet.
How many broadcasters have statues? Like, we have two in L.A.
Harry Carey, right?
Chicago. Yeah, that's right. No, I've seen Harry that. I've been to Wrigley. I've seen it. That's a good call by you, Roberto.
I wouldn't be surprised if Jack Buck has one in St. Louis. I don't know that he does, but yeah. That wouldn't surprise me.
How about Harry Callis in Philadelphia? Or
Harry Callis.
The fighting Phil.
What about Harry Doyle?
Harry Doyle.
Harry Doyle here.
In Cleveland. Down the list. Iconic broadcasters for 1,000, Alex. Ernie Harwell in Detroit?
Yeah, that's a good
one.
The great Bill King with his mustache.
Oh, I loved Bill King. Oh, my God.
That would be in the Bay Such Area a, there.
I worked with him. I told you a story, Eddie. Yeah. I don't have time to get into it now, but Bill King, really cool dude. Total hippie. Lived on a boat.
Now, he did A's and Raiders. Did he do Warriors,
yes,
too?
Yes, at one point he did the Warriors. He was the king of Bay Area sports.
For sure.
Oh, and he did the holy roller game, right? That was his game. Oh, my God. All right.
Tell Madden, get your big butt out of here. He does.
We're doing old guy radio, Eddie.
I know.
We're doing old guy radio. We got
to
stop that.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
And let's take a phone call here. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Let's say hello to Brianna, who's our old intern, Eddie, back. Remember Brianna back in the day? Worked as an intern. Do we even have interns at the company anymore? We never have interns on this show. I don't think we're allowed to.
No interns now.
We don't have them right now.
There was that incident back in the day, so there's no interns on the overnight show.
That's not true.
I had nothing to do with it. But anyway, hello, Brianna.
Hi, how are you guys?
Hello, Brianna. Now, a little birdie tells me it's your birthday. Is that accurate? Now, we don't do birthday shout-outs, Brianna. I hope you understand that.
Yeah, you're not a morning zoo show.
Yes,
right?
That's right.
Morning.
That's right. She listens.
That's right. Highly paid morning zoo show. That's who does morning shout-outs. Yeah.
Don't do shout-outs. I'm not looking for a shout-out. Promise.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. I want to do the non-malicious oath.
You want to do the oath?
Oh. Okay. Yes.
All right. Well, I mean, I haven't done the oath in a while. When's the last time I did the oath? I haven't done one this week, right? State your name.
I say your name.
Okay,
it's been about a month.
Yeah. What's that, Koopaloo?
I feel like it's been like a month, maybe.
Yeah, it's been a while. So that's good. Because, you know, Brianna, once we do this, then like seven other guys are going to call and they're going to want to do it. So this is good. All right. Raise your hand. Say, I state your name.
Okay. I, Brianna.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support.
That I will support.
And defend the Ben Maller Show.
And defend the Ben Maller Show.
Brianna, you're enjoying your birthday quite a bit tonight, Brianna.
Against all enemies.
Foreign and domestic.
Foreign and domestic, totally.
And that I will obey the orders.
And I will obey the orders. To peacefully fight back. Against hostile attacks.
From rival sports gas bags.
Except Jonas. I love Jonas. Sorry.
No. He's a blowhard, too, so you got to put him in there as well.
So help me God.
All right, Brianna, you have taken the Maller Militia oath. Do not take it lightly, Brianna. You are part officially of the Maller Militia. And we hope you rise through the ranks, Brianna. And become a brigadier general or sergeant at arms or whatever. I don't know what other titles there are.
But, officially a P1. Oh my gosh. I'm going to add it to my Twitter bio.
That's right. Very important. All right. Well, it sounds like you're enjoying your birthday. So continue to enjoy your birthday. All right, Brianna.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Happy night.
All right. Boy, it sounded like kind of a mix between half pint and beer drinking Brian a little bit. You know? Right?
Can you imagine how excited some of our listeners are right now?
I know. Calm down, you dopes. Calm down, all right? Listen.
They'll be calling in for her phone number.
I know.
Get ready, Coop.
Yeah.
They've already asked me the last time she called in.
I know.
Well, there are some members of the Maller Militia, I will not name any names, Doc Mike, who use this as like a dating thing.
Shirley?
Justin in Cincinnati, right? These guys, I guess they can't afford the dating website, so they use our show. What's up with that? All right, we have the NFL pick 'em. We got to get back on track here. It's all about being on track, Eddie. That's one thing we strive for.
Good luck
for.
With that.
Yeah, a little better late than never. Anyway, here's the Who Am I game. I have the NFL's most receiving touchdowns among all receivers wideouts since 2019. Again, I have the NFL's most receiving touchdowns among wide receivers since the start of 2019. Who am I? The answer next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
If you're a regular listener, you know the Ben Maller Show's unconventional sports talk. We dabble in the outlandish and bond with the freaks and geeks. Facebook's a digital playground for all of us. You can chat with other P1 friends of the show. It's painless. And you can cancel any time. Just like our page. Go to Facebook.com/Ben Maller Show. And now live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios, it's Ben Maller.
NFL Pick'em. NFL Pick'em. Week two coming up in a few. Here it is, the Who Am I game. I have the NFL's most receiving touchdowns among all wideouts since the start of the 2019 season. Who am I? That is the question. What's the answer? Manic Mike in Nashville got this right, obviously cheating. Trucker Joe, the moonshine man, he sent us moonshine a while back. He's going with Big Bird as his answer. Mario Bailey tossed out by Johnny Q. Let's see. Thomas the Cub fan says Coop's drug dealer. I don't know what you mean by that. David in Seattle, who knows where all the good restaurants are, is going with Dr. Morris Fishbein as his answer. Alan Robinson from Rhode Island Rich. Lisa Ann's Caboose from Travis. I didn't know she worked in the railroad. Who else do we have? Kent is going with Poop on Me Beckham as his answer. You are Avery Jenkins, guest by Arik in Minnesota. Manny Mota from the Expo Guy. Half Pint, tossed out by Terry in England. Mark Andrews from Eek. I said whiteout. Mark Andrews is a tight end. Chris Collinsworth from Sean in Portland. DJ Chark from Chris in Des Moines. Who else do we have? Page up. Rod, the ambassador of Bakersfield, is going with Cooper Kupp as his answer. Dante says it's AJ Green. Just Josh in Cincinnati gives us Michael Thomas as his answer. Who else do we have? Julio Jones from Robbie the Mariner / Falcon fan. Jason in Denver says the Lakers own baby Bron. Bron James. All right. Let's see. Do you have an answer, Eddie? Please.
I do.
Yes, go ahead.
It's Billy White Shoes Johnson.
Oh, man. That's a legend. He invented the modern touchdown celebration. But that's incorrect, Eddie. It's also not Roddy Rowdy Piper, which was guessed by Rob in Vegas, or Bill McNeil Diamond from No Help in Minnesota, or Hayward Jeffries from Malibu.
Oh,
Rubin.
I like that one.
Yeah. The correct answer is Kenny Galladay of the Detroit Lions. He's got 11 touchdowns since the start of last season. And that's the most in the NFL. Darius Slayton of the Giants and Cooper Kupp of the Rams are second. They're only one behind as we head into week two of the NFL season. And now, without further ado, here we go. Time for the NFL Pick'em. Way for us to enjoy watching the NFL even more. Fantasy sports, we love our friends at DraftKings. You should go over to DraftKings and take part in that. But as far as this is concerned for the NFL Pick'em, we are just going to do a round robin amongst us. We draft a quarterback, running back, two receivers, and a tight end. You go in any order you want. But who is going first? Who's the smartest person in the room?
We're just using the same order as yesterday because we don't have results from the open.
Well, Coop, you don't have to ruin my fun here. Who's the
You didn't
the
win wise- anything.
Wow, you are such a buzzkill. All right.
You have with the first pick.
With the first pick, Team Maller. I ripped this guy a new one a couple years ago, but I know a regular season quarterback who's good. Give me Lamar Jackson. I'm going to take Lamar Jackson of the Ravens. All right. Go ahead, Eddie. Go ahead.
I will take Patrick Mahomes.
You can have him. Kupalu.
Thank you.
I'll go with Christian McCaffrey.
All right. McCaffrey's off the board. Roberto, the back-to-back.
I'll go with DeAndre Hopkins.
All right.
And I'll go with Josh Jacobs, baby.
Josh Jacobs.
Hometown that's pick there.
Yeah. All right. Back to
best Cooper. Running back in the game.
All right. Calm down. Coop.
I'm going to go with Tyreek Hill.
All right. Tyreek Hill is off the board there from Kansas City. Eddie, you are next.
I'll stick with the Chiefs. Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Ah, interesting. I saw the Colts run defense. I'm going to take a shot with Dalvin Cook. I'm going to take a shot with Dalvin Cook, and I'm also going to get the top tight end on the board, Travis Kelce of the Kansas City Chiefs. That's a great pick by me. I'm patting myself on the back right now, Eddie. Tremendous pick. All right, back to you, Eddie. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm going
to
take a tight end. Let me go with Mark Andrews.
Oh, you bastard.
Oh, that's a good one, too, because if he has a good game, my guy has a good game, Lamar Jackson. All right, over to you, Coop, on the NFL pick'em.
I'm going
to
go with Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron, he's due for a bad game. He's due for a bad game. Roberto, the back-to-back Roberto.
Russell Wilson and Zach Ertz.
Zach Ertz. All right. And Coop Daloop.
I'm going to go with Noah Fant.
Interesting. Eddie.
I need a couple wide receivers. Let's go with Devontae Adams, Fresno State Bulldogs.
All right, you got him. And now, I wasn't listening. Did anyone pick Julio Jones? Has he been picked?
Nope. He's available.
I got him. What?
No.
He's available.
I got Julio Jones. I got him. And I'll take a shot. La, 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 la. Give me Adam Thielen.
No!
Yeah! No! That's a great pick. That is a great last pick in the NFL pick'em. I think I've already won, Eddie. But you're next. Go ahead.
Well, I think Michael Thomas is out, so give me Emmanuel Sanders.
Not according to Holiday. He says a game time decision.
Yeah, he's wrong.
All right. Go ahead, Coop.
I guess I'm going to go with... I'll do an insurance pick here. Uh-oh. Juju Smith-Schuster.
Ah.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, sports fan insurance. That's good. All right, go ahead, Roberto. You have the final pick on the NFL pick.
Go with double points here. Give me DJ Metcalf.
Wow. Who?
DJ Metcalf.
I don't even know who that is.
Receiver from the Seahawks.
Isn't it DK?
Whatever. DJ, DK. Same crap. Same crap.